A third article under infections, we're going to check in on bacteria, the big guys of infections, and their bigger role in biomes. So they're the planets, bacteria are the most prominent life form on the planet, and they're very adept, very quick at evolving and adapting to environmental changes, and they really do like living on and in us. They are quite simple organisms. They just divide. They don't have a nucleus, for example, like our usual host cells, and they propagate by a simple division into two identical daughter cells. And this allows them to be incredibly adaptable, because there are three generations of bacterium becomes a grandparent within an hour. So within a few hours, you've got multiple clones of that bacteria, which, given that the normal genetic variation, can mean that the bacteria can evolve very quickly. And it acquires some of this genetic adaptation from other organisms like plants and viruses and other bacteria. So it is innately very adaptable. They don't live on their own, of course, and bacteria live in ecosystems which we call biomes. And a microbiome is the name we give to a bacterial biome. And the gut microbiome is the most well-known. But we have very complex ecosystems also in the mouth, which we'll come on to in other posts, which are really important for our health. On the skin, of course, in the lungs, in the vagina, in other niches, we will find that there are complex biomes that play a key role in the healthy function of each of these organs. They're not trouble. They are actually major supports. In the gut, as we know, they help to process foodstuffs. They are an important part of the what we call the gut-brain axis. So changes in the microbiome can affect our mental health, our emotions, our health generally in the body. And time and again, we're going to come back to how critical the microbiome is to our health. They include, for example, the ability to generate mood-enhancing or hormones like serotonin, and affect our food appetites and cravings and so on. So the main issue that we're coming up nowadays is the relationship that we have with our bacteria post-antibiotic age, because antibiotics have made a huge difference in our response to bacterial infections, and we have to thank antibiotics for saving millions of lives over these last 60 years or so. We won't hopefully have to give them up, but we all know that they're wildly overprescribed, and of course also included in the food chain with animal husbandry and so on, using a lot of antibiotics unnecessarily. But sometimes antibiotics are needed, and we will always defer to them when necessary. And it's important in the understanding our the relationship we have with bacteria to know that if you are given an antibiotic, please finish the course, because the worst thing that can happen is if you don't have the stated course of the antibiotic, the bacteria that it's targeting will be more likely to evolve into populations that can survive that antibiotic and can take that learning into future populations. So an incomplete antibiotic prescription can ironically lead to more antibiotic resistance. So if you really do need an antibiotic prescription, please stick to it and complete the course, simply to reduce the risk of generating your own resistance in future to it. I mean, the obvious thing is that we would like to reduce antibiotic prescription at all. And in this post, there's a link to a series of articles that I did for the College of Medicine called Instead of Antibiotics, which gives a full range of evidence-based approaches to not needing to use instead of antibiotics, particularly for viral infections. So we really do want not to use antibiotics, but as I said, if you do need them, take them properly so that there's less risk of trouble. And then after you've had the antibiotics, you go into a probiotic and gut microbiome supporting regime to help replenish the effect of the antibiotics.